I'm so enjoying the conversation. And of course, we had Lisa Kratz-Thomas with us earlier. She's your co-author, but love your heart and love what God's doing in your life. Now, you mentioned this thing about dreams were significant in God bringing you to a place of healing, and I think he's kind of using that in some fashion in your life, that you have a real interest in what God can say to us through dreams. Talk about that.
It is fascinating to me. It was through admitting to someone outside the family that I had all of these nightmares, and I would wake up and scream or see things. And, you know, I had no category to fit that into. And this person, she was this beautiful Southern woman from the Deep South, and she says, "Honey, that's just not normal. You don't have to live that way." And she was just so loving to me that I thought, "What?" That was the first bit of hope that I didn't have to live like I'd been living. And so, you know, fast forward, say another 10 years, I started realizing, wait a minute, I'm still dreaming. I'm not having the nightmares anymore, or very infrequently. Mm-hmm. It was, I'm still having a lot of dreams. But once I brought the nightmare that was inside me out into the daylight and started looking at it in the light of God's love and with counseling and dealing with these issues, I realized that it just occurred to me, oh my gosh, I'm not having nightmares anymore. This is great. I was actually just having very interesting dreams. And so I started studying and going to some conferences with some very godly, reputable believers who knew the Word of God, who taught on how to use a biblical model of dream interpretation to hear God through your dreams, understanding what's going on. And you know, in Job 33, the word says that God speaks to a person one way or another in a dream or in a vision of the night. And in that context, he's talking about warning dreams to keep us away from harm. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've talked earlier about the broken world we're in. There is a lot of harm, and the Lord wants to move us out of that and into his protective love and seeing life through his lens. And so I studied that for about, since early 2000s, and in the last 2 years, I have put together workshops, a level one and a level two, that I've actually traveled to your neighborhood given that those workshops in your neighborhood. But I've done dozens of them, helping people to understand how to see, mm-hmm. and I call it a new lens, seeing God through, hearing God speak through your dreams, and help them to understand what's the difference between a dream from God or something that's just what I watched on TV, or from the enemy, an intimidation dream. And it's just been so sweet. It's been just seeing people tell a dream and then the light go on as they understand to think in metaphors, and the Holy Spirit reveals the meaning of that dream, and they are helped and encouraged and loved and corrected and all of the good things that happens when we're with the Lord.
I got to believe that you've got some people that kind of tilt their head a little bit and go, really? Like, because the possibility for hocus pocus is, you know, rampant in something like this. But let me just say, I was talking to my wife, Mary, less than a week ago. We were on a walk and we were just talking, and I said, I really think the Lord's been speaking to me about something. And, you know, I won't go into all the details, but the point is, mm-hmm. it's just the simple concept that, and I think he's actually talking to me about my own life, but it's mm-hmm. it would be true for others too. The idea that the past is not nearly as significant as the here and now or the future, meaning we can't go back to yesterday, and tomorrow mm-hmm. may never come. So right now we have the opportunity to obey God. It's something I talk about all the time, by the way, on our Worship Wednesday program, when we play a lot of worship music. And I encourage people to let go of the cares and concerns of yesterday and choose not to worry about tomorrow, but to trust Jesus in the meantime. But the point is, mm-hmm. in a more elaborate sense, he was speaking to me about those things. And I was literally dreaming about scripture verses in my dream.
Yeah.
God was bringing the word of God to mind. And I spent 8 years in pastoral ministry, but it was almost like God was speaking a sermon into my soul. And I didn't get up and immediately write everything down. I still remember large portions of it, but I do know, my point being, if somebody was to say to me, God doesn't speak to you through dreams, I'd say baloney. Because the enemy, if he could put a thought in my head, would never encourage me to look at the truth of God's word and how it could free me. So I'm intrigued by what you're saying. And even though somebody might tilt their head and say, well, that's crazy, I think what you're talking about is very important to listen to, and would love to know a little bit more about how that works. But like, do you literally sit down with people and have them share dreams with you, or how does that work?
Well, so I've been talking dreams for the last 25 years, you know, once I learned that, you know, they had value. But yeah, my life today is even more so, you know, talking with people about their dreams. They Vox them to me on Voxer, or, you know, text them, or we get together and talk. But primarily, you know, in these workshops that I do, the point is that we have a strength in this society, and it is, you know, understanding things intellectually and so forth. And we have that in the evangelical church. One of the things that we've sacrificed along the way is understanding the metaphorical ways of God. So, you know, and you said, boy, it can get kind of dangerous. You can really get off into the tall weeds with this. But the reality is that the enemy only distorts what God already has done. A third of the scriptures, a third of the Bible is dreams and visions. A third of it. And
wow.
We sleep a third of our life.
Wow.
Dreams are important to God. His only son was protected multiple times through a dream that God gave to Joseph. It was through a dream. Why didn't he just, you know, it was an angel in a dream on several occasions. But why didn't he just, you know, just approach Joseph with an angel, you know, it happened to Abraham. Mm-hmm. Why not him? And
right.
Just, but he used a dream. Now, what if Joseph didn't value dreams? What if he thought, oh, that's that pizza or hummus that I had last night, you know?
Yeah, a bad burrito,
you know,
right.
Yeah, a bad burrito, bad, you know, whatever, the pizza dream. No, they had learned to value it. Joseph valued dreams. His whole family did. They had a whole line of dreamers in his bloodline. And, you know, when Joseph shared his dream, nobody said, so what? Or what do you think that means? Everybody in the family knew what that dream meant. Everybody. No, there was no discussion. They were just upset about the interpretation of the dream. So, you know, the bloodline of the Israelites, the Jewish people, was saved through a dream that Pharaoh had and that Joseph interpreted. They were kept from starvation and extinction. So, you know, God values dreams, that is for sure. The thing is, we have not educated our society and our brothers and sisters in how to interpret a dream with a biblical model, with a biblical lens. And it's been put in this category of untrustworthy, unreliable, you know, it might be even new age, it's not Christian, whatever. And so we failed to educate people like we've educated them so well on many topics in many areas of life in Christianity. So my passion is for the person who tilts their head sideways and says, I don't know, that sounds kind of weird to me. Because these are my people, you know. I love these people who are so earnest for the Lord. They study the scriptures, but they have no training in this whatsoever. It's like but they're dreaming, they're having visions, and I'm like, let's get you equipped so that you can listen to the Holy Spirit and have a model with which to process this information that's coming to you.
Yeah, and I don't know. If somebody's still skeptical of the kind of thing you're talking about here, just consider how often we say in our own speech, you know, I was at work today and the Lord impressed me or gave me a thought or an idea, or I really believe God is speaking to me saying I need to go forgive my neighbor or whatever. We expect that God will speak to us when we're conscious. Why would we think he can't speak to us when we're sleeping? So, by the way,
well, exactly.
You,
oh,
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Well, no. I was going to say, isn't that kind of the perfect time to talk to us? Our intellect is shut down. We can't reason our way out of something. But our spirit is alive. And I would submit to you that we are not people having a spiritual experience. We're spirits having a physical experience. And we are to live by the spirit. We are to live, you know, by spirit and truth. We're to worship God that way. We're to live by the Holy Spirit. Our spirit is supposed to reign. So God is informing our spirit at night. It would be a good idea to wake up and sort of value what he might have been saying, you know, when there hasn't been any other grid that I've been filtering what he's been saying through. When you have a dream, you have the dream and you need to deal with it. You can't argue with it along the way, if you will. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let me just for fun throw out, I'm not going to get into all the details of what I think God was saying to me, and it wasn't, you know, like super complicated. There's not chapters and books about this, but I was having a dream, and I really sensed the Lord was saying, in so many words, you know, Neil, you spent a lot of time looking at your past, because there's pain and brokenness and sin and failure and, you know, abuse and whatever else is back there. There's a lot of stuff in your past, and that's largely defined your thinking, you know, about who you are today and stuff. And like I was telling you during one of the commercial breaks, you know, I'm a totally different person today than I was 25 years ago. And if God had not intervened 25 years ago, I would have been you on the floor, you know, in the story you're telling. About how, you know, I would have just fallen apart at some point. But God has been gracious, and he's been healing and bringing transformation. But so the verse, the passage that was in my head was Philippians, comes from Philippians 3. And in verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been perfected, but I press on to take hold for that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He says, brothers, I do not consider myself to have laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. And that was what God was speaking into my heart in the middle of the night. And when I woke up, I knew that he was speaking to me, like that was something that came direct. The enemy doesn't say this. He doesn't quote the Bible for the purpose of your benefit. He might try to twist God's words to deceive you, but I just knew, and I had peace waking up. So I couldn't wait to tell my wife that I really felt like God was stirring a new season in my life, that this is kind of how things are going to be, that, you know, that the past is the past, and yes, it's important. It's part of our testimony. We need to, like Lisa shares her testimony a lot, you know, about from the crack house to the state house, but that ultimately it's about who I am in Christ today and what he desires to do in my life in the days ahead. But it begins by me trusting him and obeying him right now. And I really felt like that's what God was saying through some of that. So I don't know. Do I sound wacky to you? Is your head tilted right now? Or are you like...
No, I'm leaning forward. I'm eager.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, that dream came at just the right time for you because you'd already been doing some work on your past. We don't simply say, well, that's just in the past. I don't need to deal with it because it does form who we are today. But it reminds me of when Jesus at the Last Supper, it says Jesus knowing where he had come from and where he was going, girded his loins and started washing the disciples' feet. So he understood who he was, where he'd come from. He knew what his destiny was, so it freed him in the moment to serve.
Wow.
And I love
come on.
That.
That's so good. Wow.
It is. You know, and I'll tell you this. I was thinking this when Lisa was on with us.
Yeah.
You know, the devil is not afraid of your past. He is terrified of your future.
Right.
So we don't have to. We do need to deal with those issues because we see things through a lens that's been distorted by wounds, sin, and separation. We need the light of God to inform us. We need healing. And he is so more than able to do all of that. But when we get to a certain point, there is a place where we say, that's the past. I will use it to encourage others, but my focus is fixed on the future, just like you were saying out of Philippians 3. That is such a great dream to have.
You mentioned identity and destiny before. Let's do a whole program on that sometime.
Oh,
that's
my
huge.
Gosh.
All right.
It's a passion.
Mary, let me get to your phone call. Mississauga, Ontario. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, it's a little hard to hear you. I don't know if you're on a speakerphone or what, but we'll do the best we can to
listen. Is that better?
That's a little bit better, yep. I think that's a bad connection, but it's definitely better, so go ahead.
Okay, so I'm glad that I'm not the only one that's been going through this. I have been going through the dreams and the interpretation of the dreams for a very long time in my life. And at this present time, with me being a widow and having my kids, and now they're seeing how these dreams are manifested in my life, they look at me like I'm crazy, right? They look at me like when I said, oh, my God, I had this dream. Okay, let me give you a scenario. 2 months ago, I'm in bed and I'm sleeping fast asleep, and my cousin was there with me for some reason, and all of a sudden she died. Right? She died in my dream. And I woke up because it was disturbing. And then my daughter walked in the room and she's like, Mommy, why do you look like that? I said, you wouldn't believe I just dreamt that her name is Bastola. Bastola died. Right? So she was like, you mean a cousin from the UK? So I'm like, yeah. I said, oh my God, I just have a weird feeling. 2 minutes, the phone rang. My brother said to me, hey, just to give you a heads up, we just understood Bassy was in hospital and she died. And my twins stood to the door and they look at me like, what are you dealing with, woman? What is going on? And it's just things like that, what's been happening to me. And it's not just about death. It's about everything in life aspect. Things that happen. And it only comes to me, and I dream about it all the time, but it only comes to family and friends, or people who are really, really close to me. And when it first happened to me, again, someone died, my pastor died, and my mother said to me, you have to embrace God. I think I was about 12, and I remember it clearly. She said, MJ, because that's what they call me, MJ, you have to embrace God. God is trying to use you. God is trying to tell you something. You have to understand that God wants to use you. And then again, I was 12, so I wasn't really interested in God at the present time, right? Mm-hmm. But she was the first one to say, you have to say to God, you can use me. I'm here. I'm understanding. I can hear you. And it's a lot of other stuff she said. But I'm just so happy that it was not only me one, and I could tell my children, yes, I'm not the only crazy one out there. You have me. Oh, I listen to it.
No, just you and Kathy. There's two of you. It's you and Kathy.
Yeah.
So, all right. All right. Kathy, how do you respond to some of what Mary's saying? I think you were able to hear most of that, right?
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, I was. And, you know, it's interesting, Mary. I believe that God has actually gifted you with dreams. There are people who, you know, God can speak to anyone in dreams, and he does. But there are people who dream very vividly. You seem to dream literally. Most dreams are metaphorical. But there are literal dreams where there is God releases revelation about something very specific, and then that thing happens. And that's for a purpose, both to know that God is, he is interested in us. He is there as give us revelation on what we need to have revelation about, and to help others and to warn others. You know, Abraham Lincoln had a dream. He saw himself in a casket before he was shot. And many believe that he could have avoided his assassination if he had given more credibility to the dream. And there's many people who have been warned from this or that or another thing because of a dream. So I love that you're sharing that with your family, and I certainly hope you will grow in your understanding even more than you already have. That's what I'm trying to do, and that the Lord will use that gift in for many wonderful purposes.
You know, Kathy, I've actually, from where I was in my dream to compare to where I am now, whenever I have a dream, I never take it lightly. I wake up and I say, oh, no weapon formed against me should prosper. Father, in the name of Jesus, please protect this person, or, you know, and I don't take it lightly in my, and, you know, and I go throughout my day thinking and praying for just people, just random people, just random friends, just random family members. And I'm like, God, please protect them, God. I hope that their soul is saved, and I hope that they know you as their Lord and personal Savior. And throughout my whole day, and, you know, sometimes even at the office, and my kids will look at me and say, Mommy, don't do that. It may not happen. I said, you don't know my dream, though. I know it is going to happen. He may not say this is going to happen to you right at this present time, most of the time, but most times, this is going to happen, and it exactly is going to happen. So please don't tell me I'm going to drive myself crazy because I'm praying for all of these people who I don't know, or all these family members who I don't know. I said I have to because I know what my dream is. I know what happens in my dreams. It always comes true.
Wow.
Always.
All right. So based on what she's saying here, let me just ask you this too, because somebody's listening and they go, hey, this is interesting. If you can actually know what's going to happen because of a dream, then maybe somebody gets, and forgive me because I know you're not saying this, Kathy, but let's just say somebody, well, I don't have to pay to go to a fortune teller then, because I can just interpret whatever's going on in my mind as what's going to happen next. So, like, let's say that we get good at this and somebody... So you have a dream about a building. So then you wake up in the morning and decide to go buy a building you can't afford for a business that's not ready to purchase a building yet. And, you know, you see what I'm saying, where people become reckless with information. And that's not what I hear Mary saying, but isn't the potential there for somebody to be reckless with the kind of information that they're receiving? And or seek it for selfish purposes.
Yeah, I mean... So the plumb line for any dream interpretation is the character of God and the word of God. So if I have a dream, say that I dream about an old boyfriend, and I wake up and I think, oh, you know, God must want me to ditch my husband and go with this old boyfriend. We know that's not what God says, because our number one foundation standard is the word of God and the work of Jesus Christ. And so dreams inform our already thriving relationship with the Lord. And both Joseph and Daniel said, only God knows the interpretation for a dream. And those were two of the greatest dream interpreters that have ever lived. And they never took credit for their dream interpretation. And so we go to the Holy Spirit and we say, we value what you're giving us, just like MJ said. She wakes up and she takes her dream seriously because she's valuing what God is giving her. And the more we value what he gives us, the more he's going to give to us of that. But we take it to the Holy Spirit and we say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And how do I stay in your shalom? How do I stay in your peace as I process this? She talked about quoting scripture and praying for protection and declaring scripture over her life. That's excellent. She does it in peace, knowing that God is sovereign, knowing that he's given this information for a reason. So that's a little bit of where the weight of a dream needs to land into this vast area of the character of God. It's only one element in our life. It's not our main focus. But it is part of our life. And so... this is something that I talk about so much in the workshops is the relationship with God, the scriptures. It has to be in line with the principles of scriptures and the character of God.
Back at it here with Kathy Gray, a co-author of Light in Our Darkness. You can find it on Amazon. Lisa Kretz-Thomas, co-author, was in studio with us but left a little while ago to head to Batavia, where she's speaking tonight at the All Babies Cherished Banquet at the Quality Inn in Batavia. And if you're headed there, you're going to love Lisa to pieces. And just so grateful to have an opportunity to hang out with her co-author, Kathy, and talk about God's goodness here, particularly as it relates to God speaking to us through dreams. All right, back up to the Toronto area and Musa from Brampton. Well, we lost Musa along the way. So let me ask you this. What are some of the most common questions you get about this issue? I mean, other than people tilting their head and going, are you serious? But... I got to believe that some people, like Mary earlier, find a sense of relief. Like, I think God has been trying to speak to me in my dreams.
Yes. Yeah, and one of the most common questions is, it's kind of a challenging question from the head tilters, but it's, well, do you think every dream is from God? And I'm thinking, you know, well, of course not. The scripture outlines three different sources of dreams. There's dreams from God, there are dreams from our own soul, and there's dreams from the enemy. But every dream can be used by God in order to draw us into a closer relationship with him. So let's say you have a nightmare, and it's not from God. I'm not talking about a correction, warning, kind of scary dream that's showing you you shouldn't go in a certain direction because God is loving you, like Job 33 talks about.
Right.
But let's say you have an actual, you know, nightmare. You're being chased, and someone's trying to kill you. Well, one of the great things is you wake up from that dream, you immediately go to the Lord and realize he said, I came that you would have life abundantly. What would he, if the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and the Lord wants to give us life, let's flip this dream. If I'm being chased and someone's trying to kill me in a dream, the opposite is what God wants for me. He wants me to stand in authority and face down enemies, and he wants to give me life. And so you just start praying into that kind of aspect in the dream. And you can even declare that because you stand on the word of God. That's what the Lord said he wanted for you. And it's amazing how anything in a dream can, any kind of dream, can bring you into a conversation with the Lord. And he can give you greater wisdom, and you have that closeness with him.
All right, fair enough. And I don't disagree with what you're saying, but let's raise the other argument for a second, because based on Mary's call, she said she found out that a family, I mean, she had a dream that a family member died, and turns out they did. So wouldn't it be possible to say, Lord, thank you so much for showing me that someone's going to chase me and kill me? Like, which,
well, it says in everything give thanks. that's actually a scriptural mandate.
Right.
You know, when the enemy intrudes, God gives us justice when we ask him for it. It's an illegal intrusion, if you will, intimidating. We see this a lot with children. They have nightmares, and they're being harassed and tormented. I certainly had that. And so, no, that's not, you know, a gift from God that we're thankful for, but we can stand on his word and say, it's like any tragic thing that happens. We can stand on his word and say, the Lord will use this for good to those that love him and are called according to his purposes. And that's one of the things of educating our brothers and sisters in how to approach dreams and how to approach the Lord with dreams that I think is so needed today.
I can think of a couple recurring dreams I had as a kid. And, you know, I just wonder what God was trying to say to me. If, I mean, because I was a kid, like, one, I think I told you about off air, and maybe sometime I'll share more with you about that. But I mean, I remember having this recurring dream when I was a kid that I came home and I'm in the house and I'm trying to flip the lights on and they're all off,
off,
which is kind of a scary thing when you're a kid. And so I'm 8 or 9 years old, and I know the only place to go to turn them back on is down in the basement to the panel box, you know, because somebody must have flipped the breakers. But I'm pretty sure there's like an intruder in the basement. And and I would wake up kind of panicked, like, uh-oh, somebody's in the house. I can't, none of the lights work. I couldn't get light to turn on anywhere. And it was that panic feeling. And I don't know, was God trying to show me something, do you think?
Yeah, actually, that's, I don't know exactly how to categorize that dream. Is it, you know, this category or that category? But I will tell you this. What's so interesting that you just shared that dream was, what was just on my mind was a same recurring dream that I had that was very similar to what you're talking about. So if I were to take that dream and, you know, I believe in, as I was praying, which I always pray while I'm listening to someone, share a dream and ask the Lord to give revelation on it. The dream was indicating that no matter how you tried to get illumination in your life, no matter how you tried to turn the power on, it was going to lead you into a place of danger. And so I do believe this is a dream from the enemy that was an intimidation dream. My dream, and I'll wrap it around when I finish telling you my dream. So my dream was that I would fly down the basement stairs, and it was light at the top of the basement, but it was dark at the bottom. And it was so much fun. I could just fly in my dream, which is a very common dream to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd land at the bottom of the stairs, and then it was very dark. Suddenly, I felt like there was someone trying to get me, and I couldn't turn the lights up, and I couldn't turn the lights on. The switch wasn't working, and I couldn't get back up the stairs. And that dream was intimidating me. Flying is, in dreams, is the ability to rise above your circumstances, see from a higher perspective, and also to move at a higher level in the spirit and in the spirit of God. And so the threat to both you and I as children was, it was this, there's kind of no hope for you. You can't turn the power on in your life. If you try and pursue that and fix the problem, then you're going to put yourself in danger and you won't be able to handle it. And, you know, it's just a terrifying dream. So don't try and fly. Don't try and get the power going on, or don't get any light into your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But what's really bizarre is the other dream I didn't tell you about had to do with the basement stairs and light at the top and darkness at the bottom.
Yeah.
Whoa, come on. Okay, something's really weird now. But I'm not going to share this one on the air. It's a little too personal, but I am going to share it with you at some point. And maybe even after our conversation here. But the point is this, that you're saying as much as God can speak to us when we're awake, he can speak to us in dreams. Certainly the enemy wants us to think horrible thoughts and be drawn away from the things of God. But I hear you saying if we allow God to nourish our soul while we're sleeping, that he can speak to us through dreams and will if we'll let him.
Absolutely. And you know, let's say I'm having a lot of soul dreams, for instance. A soul dream is just, it's usually got a little less light in it. It's kind of muted, but it's not a nightmare, you know. But, you know, like the old boyfriend kind of dream, or just, you know, a dream, I'm just not prepared, I don't have anything to wear,
right,
that kind of thing. That if I'm having a lot of those dreams, that's a flag to me that I've been feeding my soul more than I've been feeding my spirit. You know, my spirit is wisdom, communion, and conscience. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions, and we need the soul, but our spirit is supposed to reign. So I get this indication, which is very gracious of the Lord. You know, you've been feeding your soul a lot. It's time to start feeding your spirit. Take in my word more. Get around other believers. Worship me. Think on these things. You know, the Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are right, true, profitable. I don't have the whole thing memorized anymore. But, yeah. So, so even a soul dream can be an encouragement to be strengthening our spirit. Yeah.
Got just about 2 minutes left here, and Kathy, you have been gracious to hang on as long as you have to talk about light in our darkness. We got into the dream thing because that is part of your story. It's part of the deliverance that, you know, God brought about in your life. But any way you want to summarize what our conversation's been about today, including the contents of the book, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I think what we tried to accomplish in Light in Our Darkness was the number one thing is the value of every human life. And, you know, we got into the topic of dreams because it was such a huge part of my childhood. You had dreams as well. And you know, whatever has been plagued in your experience, whatever's been attacked, God wants to use those things. He had you come into this world with a unique gift mix that only you have. And in my life, one of the things was dreams and understanding dreams and encouraging others and encouraging my own life, you know, as God was speaking to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really pounded on as a child. But man, God can redeem anything in your life that has been misused, abused, or set aside. He wants to use all of you because he made you that way. And there is hope for you.
Wow, that's just so huge. Kathy, thank you for taking so much time to hang out with us today. I don't know how long you're going to have to charge your cell phone after this. You're going to have it hooked up to the electrical socket for the rest of the day, I think. But, man, you're welcome back anytime, and let's do that again. We got a lot more to talk about, I know, in the future. But God bless you, and thanks for being a part of MBL.
Thank you, Neil. It's been a pleasure.